All right, welcome back to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on ESPN Denver 1600. But Terry is not here. Terry's fishing in Minnesota. I'm Chad LaChance. I'm hosting the show while he's away and traveling. Hopefully he's chasing some big walleyes today. And a guy that I saw on social media not too long ago eating some walleyes, I believe, from up in Canada, who's a very buggy guy. This guy is a Colorado guy who was born with a bamboo fly rod and silk line and a dry fly on the end of it. He was born with that in his hand. It's the bug guy, Mr. Robert Younghands. Good morning, Robert.
Chad, it's so great to talk to you again, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and I missed you, bud. I haven't talked to you in a long time. Of course, you were a guest on Fishful Thinker Television in the past. We had a great time with that. You're known as the bug guy, and people might know you from the International Sportsman's Exposition. You're typically the guy with the live bugs there that everyone wants to play with. First of all, where do you live?
You know, I'm actually just in the foothills above Colorado Springs in Florissant. So next, you know, close to Woodland Park. I'm about 6 miles from 11 Mile Canyon, which is a pretty nice geographical location if you're a fly fisherman. So it's a good spot, and it's beautiful living up here.
Well, yeah, and the reason I was asking that was to get a gauge on what your weather has been so far. You know, I want to talk about fall hatches because, yeah, we've talked a lot about hunting and stuff, and we've talked a little bit about some other fishing stuff, but the reality is this is a fantastic time of year to be a fly fisherman in general, and for the most part, the flows are in check. Water's relatively clear in a lot of places. I was up, looked at the Colorado River last weekend, also looked at Poudre Canyon. Both of them looked beautiful, guys fishing all of them. As a fly fisherman, what are my most key bugs, say, for the next month? What are my most key bugs?
Well, you know, Chad, I'll answer that in a roundabout way. One of the things that I always tell people I'm either guiding or my students or in my guide school is to be an observer. And, you know, as much as we try to make entomology and studying bugs a exact science, you know, Chad, the number one dictator of what happens in an aquatic ecosystem is temperature. And that's as far as hatches and emergences and things like that. So temperature, flows, bottom release dams, runoffs. And so while there are times that specific species of invertebrates are more prolific, like we talk about the Mother's Day hatch on the Arkansas, things like that, both region, altitude, and most importantly, each specific lake or stream will have its own hatch cycle. And so there are times, you know, like for instance, when animals are in rut, you know, we know kind of when they're in rut, but if the temperatures are off, if we've had, you know, a major winter as far as, you know, snowpack, if we got a lot of bottom release dams that are kicking out lots of cold water, you know, all those types of things, all that stuff varies dramatically. And usually what I like to say, I mean, you know me, Chad, being an entomologist, I can sit here and rip off all kinds of important and fancy words in Latin. But as I always say, trout don't speak Latin or other fish don't speak Latin. But I will say this is that if you're an observer, you're going to see a lot more stuff than you would expect to see. And that said, there are numerous mayflies, stoneflies, caddisflies, and of course, midges that come off all the way, sometimes through the winter, but all the way through basically mid-October through even mid-November, as far as that goes. And I can talk about some of the specific ones and more common names, but that's the big thing is we never know, Chad. We don't know really when things are going to be hatching and coming off because things change every year and specifically to the water that you're fishing. Every river is different. The Poudre is different. The Colorado is different. And that's all based on flows, snowpack, and rain. That's the big thing. So I don't know. I probably didn't answer your question specifically, but that's kind of what goes on.
You answered my question honestly, and that's what's important. And, you know, Nate Zielinski in the first hour of the show, same thing. You can't predict it. You can't say what's going to happen. You have to go with an open mind. So the next thing becomes if I'm a fly fisherman, I just heard the bug guy tell me that, and I show up and I'm going to pick a random canyon, say Cheeseman Canyon. What you're telling me is I need to be very observant as to either the feeding behavior of my trout. Are they sipping emergers? Are they hitting dries? Are they staying down and feeding in known lanes? Or am I looking for bugs themselves? Because one of the axioms in fall is follow the bait and you'll find the fish. But the problem is you don't know which bait it is. Are they on shad or are they on smelt or on the crayfish? Same thing with the trout in the river. Is he eating, you know, stoneflies, mayflies, caddisflies, or all of the above? So you're telling me I just need to watch the fish, gauge them, and go that route.
Yeah, deciphering fish feeding behavior, insect activity, and you nailed it. Because I know that, like I said, you're an extremely diverse fisherman, and I've seen you cast, and I've seen you fly fish, and I've seen your conventional fishing. And you're better at all that stuff than me when it comes down to it. You're very good at all that stuff.
Well, thank you very much.
And that's right, buddy. The thing is that you have to decipher fish. You know, are they porpoising? Are they sipping? Well, we know that that's emergers. Are you seeing a big hatch coming off and yet you see no surface activity? Well, what does that tell you? Maybe we need to go subsurface and we need to target either pupa or larva or possibly emergers just down below. Are they busting the top? You know, right now the grasshoppers are still really busy and the grasshoppers are going to be moving around and inadvertently flying into the water because, you know, they're not adroit at flying. But a trout knows that that's a big meal. And for all the way through October, depending on each season, you know, we kind of had a delayed terrestrial season through the whole state this year. And really, it took a long time to pick up. And generally about a month ago, the terrestrials really would have been happening. And I'm talking about beetles, grasshoppers, ants, those type of patterns. And you know what? It's still busting right now, and it's going to go all the way through mid-October easily. And, you know, and that's one reason, Chad, I'm not a big fan of hatch charts. I don't know if your listeners know what those are, but they're put out generally by the fly fishing companies about which flies you should use at a specific time on a specific river. And when it's all said and done, Chad, you know what? Those are about as useless as, you know, me, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, climbing a 14er. I mean, they're useless. You are the one that has to go out there as a fly fisher and kind of figure it out and be an observer and watch that activity as far as you were, as you mentioned, what's going on at that river at that time. And that's what's going to make you successful, and that's what's going to give you production, 100%.
Yeah, I agree with that. The one thing I will throw out is I think it's important to know potentially if there's any notable bugs in a river you're going to. For instance, if I'm going to the Roaring Fork or Colorado River below Gore Canyon, I might be really focused on a big stonefly where I might otherwise not be considering those if I'm in, say, Clear Creek that has a much smaller stonefly. But I have to know they're there in the first place. We went with John Ewert, who's a fisheries biologist that manages for Colorado Parks and Wildlife, that manages that section of Colorado, and we sampled there. And I was very surprised at the diversity of the bug life and the size of the bug life that was in there. You know, a big deal. You and I sampled together up in Rocky Mountain National Park, and we scooped through just the grass on the edge of one of the lakes there and took an overwhelming number of bugs out of the water in one net scoop.
And that's such an important point. You know, I always say we can do all the classes, we can read all the books, we can talk about, you know, how good of a caster you are. You can buy $700 waders and a really expensive rod. But ultimately, if you can't take the time and buy a $15 seine and spend that exorbitant amount of money and actually do a little collecting, most of what we teach and we talk about, Chad, really becomes kind of useless. I mean, the big thing is to go and find out for yourself. And it's not just about turning over a rock. You're going to get a few things, but if you really want to know what's in a river and you want to match the hatch, you want to match the invertebrates that are in an aquatic ecosystem, you need to actually do a little bit of sampling. And it should be fun, not intimidating. It should be something that enlightens you, but doesn't stress you out. Because even if you don't know what the fancy names are, you can at least look at what you collected and say, you know what, that's probably a caddis. And you go to your caddis box, which should be organized into different aquatic orders, mayflies, stoneflies, caddisflies, midges, terrestrials, things like that, and then make an informed decision, because there's very little luck in any type of outdoor activity, whether it's, you know, hunting, conventional fishing, or fly fishing. It's going out and doing sampling. That's a great point that you brought up.
Well, and I agree with you on the very little luck part. And for me, all I have to do is match the shape, profile, and size. I don't It doesn't have to be called a mayfly just because, you know.
Exactly.
Look, if the nymph has got the right shape, size, and color, you're going to get in the ballpark with that. And I think that's really important. And for me, sampling brings out kind of like my inner kid. I got kicked out of school as a fourth grader one time. I got sent home from school because I came in smelling like a pond because I'd been wading around in the pond up to my knees sampling, catching minnows. And right. My mom, rest her soul, really wanted to ground me for getting kicked out of school, but on the other hand, she was happy that I was out sampling minnows before school. So old habits die hard, but when we've sampled, the times that I have actually taken some effort to sample either in Colorado River or the lakes or any other place that I've done that extensively in small creeks, you'll find it's very eye-opening in a lot of cases, and I think it helps. Let me ask you this before. We've got a couple of minutes left, and I've got something because people keep asking me, so I'm going to ask you from the entomologist standpoint. Fires. We've had fires. Now we're having floods. It's a standard process. It's gone through on Mother Nature for a million years.
Yeah.
Its effect on the bugs. We've got only a couple of minutes, but its effect on the bugs, what do you see? Because I was just in the Poudre River. Fish appeared to be doing fine. I did not find a tremendous amount of bug life, and I couldn't tell if it was because they died off or I just wasn't looking in the right spot.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I will just say, in the time that we have, what happens basically is that we get high amounts of sediment that get into the river. That actually affects the fish populations. It affects the gill structures of the aquatic invertebrates, the mayflies, stoneflies, caddisflies, midges, particularly the stoneflies. And so what will happen, Chad, is we get a process called lamation, like the word laminate, like on your counter, and it starts to fill your river up with sandy bottoms, because what happens is that cycle that you mentioned. So we get a fire, we lose all our ground cover, all that sediment, gravel comes back into the river, and it starts to turn a river not into a place with lots of structure and rocks, and you know structure better than anybody. That's still important in a river, and you start ending up with these long 3, 4, 5 mile sandbars that is not conducive to aquatic insect development or for trout reproduction or even for habitat. And so it's a valid thing. I mean, so you will definitely find a reduction in what you're going to find as far as collecting. And I will say that one of the things that we do as entomologists is like particularly when I was at Colorado State University studying entomology there, is that we would go in after an event, whether it was a flood event, whether it was a fire event, and we would have previous studies and have looked at specimens we collected in previous years and then compare it after a fire or a flood. And I think probably the answer is not a big surprise, but after those events, things drop dramatically. So fires can be pretty devastating to our fisheries when it's all said and done.
Well, there you go. That's from the man himself, and I agree with you. Flip side of it is one good hard spring runoff and flush a lot of that out of the river, run it downstream, and that'll help it out a whole bunch. So, Robert, I appreciate you very much taking the time. Would love to have you on Fishful Thinker Television again. Always fun to talk to. If a guy wants to learn more about the bug guy, where would he do it?
Well, you can go to thebugguy.com. My site is down right this moment. We're rebuilding it since I have classes that are listed from 2012. You can tell I'm very techie.
Right.
But otherwise, I'll be at ISC with you. Hopefully, we'll be throwing some bugs into the tank, and then I'll be in Dallas in October, and I'll be in Chile in Patagonia in March with people down there. But ISC 6th through the 9th, and I'll have my live stream and bugs for everybody to actually come out and see. And I'll be honest with you, even though it's something I do, it's probably one of the biggest hits of the show is actually being able to come to the stream and see the bugs right there. It's a great thing. So hope we can get people out there in January 6th through the 9th and come to the show.
Excellent. Well, I agree with you. I have fun at your thing. So, Robert, I appreciate that very much, taking the time to call in and stay in touch. We'll see if we can get you on the show going forward.
Thank you, Chad. You take care, buddy.
That's Robert Younghans, the bug guy, one of my favorite guys, great guy to fish with. Look him up. And in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on ESPN Denver 1600.